This is Wisconsin Public Radio on NPR One.
In recent years, DNA testing has exonerated individuals who were wrongfully convicted because of misconduct by FBI forensic scientists. As Alexandra Hall reports, a nationwide review of flawed hair analysis is calling into question the outcomes of over a dozen cases in Wisconsin.
Thank you, Your Honor, Robert Kaiser and Aaron Hansen on behalf of the state of Wisconsin.
At a hearing in Dane County Circuit Court in February, attorneys with the Innocence Project appeared alongside a man named Richard Baranek and asked the judge who gave him a life sentence for a retrial.
So this case involves a sexual assault that occurred 30 years ago.
Richard Baranek was convicted of sexually assaulting a woman in rural Stoughton in 1990. Despite multiple alibi witnesses who said he was in North Dakota at the time, the victim picked him out of a lineup. At the trial, an FBI forensic analyst told the jury that a single hair found on a pair of men's underwear left by the perpetrator matched the hair on Baranek's head. In February, Innocence Project attorneys presented DNA testing that showed that hair was not Baranek's.
We also think that this case is important just for the criminal justice system in general to recognize when mistakes are made and correct them.
Baranek's case is far from an anomaly. The FBI is currently reviewing thousands of cases around the country in which examiners from the agency's Hairs and Fibers Unit gave testimony in court that went beyond the limits of science. At least 13 of those cases, possibly linking people to crimes they did not commit, are in Wisconsin.
Forensic science was built in crime laboratories. It did not follow the path of true science.
That's Frederick Whitehurst. He worked as an explosives expert for the FBI for years. Whitehurst says he noticed in the 90s that his reports were being changed without his authorization to reflect certainty.
Nobody is willing in forensic science to speak about the uncertainties, and that makes it not science. Most of the people I knew in the crime lab, especially in the hair analysis unit, are good people. They believed in what they were doing. They were not scientists.
Part of what makes ignoring that uncertainty dangerous is that juries can be inclined to believe experts who have the FBI's authority behind them. A hair examined beneath a microscope can tell you a few things. If it's from a human, and if it is what race the person is, plus what part of the body it came from. But it can't be relied on to tell you exactly who the hair came from. Skip Palahniuk is a forensic scientist who analyzed evidence in cases like the Oklahoma City bombing and the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. He says FBI analysts overstated what they knew.
One of the agents used to say, well, I think the chances are of this hair being from somebody else is slim to none, and Slim just left town. So that leaves the jury with the impression, this is coming from the FBI, that, boy, that's probably that guy's hair.
In 2015, the FBI announced that a review of hundreds of cases where hair analysis was used over the years found examiners made statements that were scientifically inaccurate at least 90% of the time. Keith Finley, who was co-director of the Wisconsin Innocence Project and is working on the Baranek case, says problems in Wisconsin don't stop with the FBI.
The FBI trained many, many state-level crime laboratory analysts in the same methods, and those people were probably going out into the field providing the same kinds of scientifically invalid testimony.
So far, 1,600 FBI cases have been reviewed, and that number is growing. In certain cases, faulty hair analysis was inconsequential. Sometimes defendants were guilty regardless of what the FBI said. But in cases where it was a deciding factor, Finley says it's not just in the interest of fairness to set the record straight. The public also has a stake. In the case of Richard Baranek, if he is found innocent, whoever's hair that really was could still be out there somewhere, free. Alexandra Hall, Wisconsin Public Radio.
This story was produced in collaboration with the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism.